Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Sunday, August 12th, and we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Chris Cullen from the Perfect Phil podcast as we talk about last Thursday's preseason game against Tampa Bay. And we chat about the upcoming 2018 season, what we think will happen, and a variety of topics surrounding the Miami Dolphins. So we'll have that later on in the podcast. Before I get to that, though, we have some news to talk about. And this news sort of broke probably when most of you went to bed Saturday night, so this might be the first you're hearing about it. And that free agent cornerback Breshad Breeland will be visiting with the Miami Dolphins on Sunday. This was reported by Josina Anderson of ESPN, who's an amazing reporter for them. And then this was later confirmed Saturday night by Barry Jackson and Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald. So this is happening. Breshad Breeland will be visiting with the Miami Dolphins on Sunday. And it's an interesting story regarding him. And for those of you who might not know it, let me just sort of give you a rundown. So Breeland has been with the Washington Redskins since 2014. He played 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017. He's been a very good player for the Washington Redskins. This offseason, he was a free agent. And he signed with the Carolina Panthers in March, I believe on March 16th. A three-year deal, $24 million, $11 million guaranteed. However, he failed his physical because when he was in the Dominican Republic on a trip, a golf cart hit the back of his leg, and it reopened, I guess, a bad injury he had when he was back in the third or fourth grade on his heel, and the cut then got infected, and he had to get a skin graft on his heel, and because of all that, he ended up failing his physical with the Panthers. They voided his contract, making him a free agent again. Now, since he's been a free agent again, he's visited with a lot of teams, and I will run them down. He has visited with Kansas City, he has visited with Baltimore, Arizona, Cleveland, Oakland, Indianapolis, and just this past week he was in New England for a workout. So he's met with a lot of teams. So let's break this down now. When you meet with that many teams and you don't sign, it means you're probably looking for a big payday. And if I were him, he's probably looking for the same payday he got from the Panthers back in March, which is around $11 million in guaranteed money in some way, shape, or form. And if all those teams haven't paid him, that means A, they don't want to pay him, or B, the question then becomes, is he healthy enough to where he deserves that kind of money? And has this injury here to his left foot, you know, how bad is it? How bad is it? Because if he's not the same guy anymore, then he's not going to get anywhere near the money he's looking for or anywhere near the contract that that he got here back in March with the Panthers. So there's that. Now, if he is healthy, then it comes down to who's going to pay him the most. And out of all the teams he sort of met with, and right now the Miami Dolphins have $13.9 million of salary cap space. And as I've been saying on this podcast for weeks, expect them to sign a veteran player. Now, I didn't know if it was going to be at defensive tackle. That was my guess. But I said it might be a linebacker. It might be a tight end. It might be someone in the secondary. They're going to sign a veteran before the regular season. And it looks like this might be the one area they're looking to sign someone at, because it was reported middle of last week, and it didn't get a lot of run or talk. One of the papers, I'm not sure which one, so I don't want to say the wrong one or the, you know, without knowing. It was reported that the Miami Dolphins staff hasn't been exactly, you know, thrilled with the competition for the number two cornerback spot and who's going to start opposite Xavien Howard. Now, let's make one thing clear. If Miami does sign Breshad Breeland, and if he's healthy, if they sign him and if he's healthy, he will start opposite Xavien Howard. No questions asked. End of story. No debate. He is that good, and he is clearly better than guys like Tankersley and Lippitt and that whole group. So that's number one. Number two, if they were to sign him, how many cornerbacks will the Miami Dolphins carry in 2018, and who's going to be the odd man out? Who's going to be the odd man out in playing time, and who might be the odd man out on the roster? Because you have to figure Xavien Howard and Bobby McCain, they aren't going nowhere. Tankersley was a third-round pick, promising last year. He'll be on the roster. So those three, let's once again, we're going to assume that they signed Breeland. There's four. That still leaves you Lippitt. That still leaves you Torrey McTyer. And obviously, Minkah Fitzpatrick, more of a safety, but he might play some corner. So I'm not even going to talk about Minkah because he's more of a safety, and that's more of his role, I think. So, you know, you got six guys then. And does that mean Miami tries to hide Torrey McTyer on the practice squad? Not sure they'll be able to. The way he sort of looks so far in camp, another team would, you know, almost 100% for sure sign him off of Miami's practice squad. Lippitt, you know, I've been saying on his podcast a lot, how healthy is he? That's a big injury he had last year. If he's not the same player, he could be the odd man out. Or then you can also start to explore, would Miami look to trade someone like Lippitt or Torrey McTyer and get, you know, a late round pick, I guess, for either one of those guys, a sixth or seventh round conditional pick. That's all possible. But we'll see how this plays out. I guess the news that was reported the middle of last week that the staff is not thrilled with guys like either Tankersley or Lippitt or McTyer starting might be true, because why else would you meet with Breshad Breeland knowing he's going to want, you know, a substantial contract? Now, not a huge contract, but substantial enough to put a pretty good dent into the salary cap money you got. They got $13.9 million, and Barry Jackson mentions they need about $2 million of that for their practice squad. So out of the $11.9 million they have to play with, how much do they want to part with here? Because any money that's not used can be carried over to next year in that cap. So we'll see. If he's healthy, he's worth, you know, a good chunk of change, because he is a very good player. And him and Howard, you know, would be a very good combination back there. And then once again, on your bench, you're going to have guys, I would assume, like Tankersley and Lippitt, Torrey McTyer. You know, that just makes that unit even stronger. I already thought the secondary was a position of strength, but, you know, this would just make it better if he's healthy. That's the key word. How's that left foot? In his 4 years as a starter for Washington, Breeland has 8 interceptions, 59 pass breakups, and 7 forced fumbles. So, you know, 8 interceptions and 7 forced fumbles in 4 years, that's a lot. I mean, this guy can play. So hopefully the foot's not an issue. Hopefully, you know, if Miami can sign him, and if he's healthy, I will not be complaining in the least. So that's pretty much the big news. Let's talk about some things here with the website. I wanted to just make sort of an announcement, sort of an exciting thing for us here at DolphinsTalk.com, in that we've been extended the opportunity this year to have access to the press box at Hard Rock Stadium for Miami Dolphins home games. Now, a few things. A, it's not going to be for every home game. And B, it's not just our site. It's this opportunity has been extended to many other websites just like ours, quote-unquote fan sites, who cover the team and do great work. So we're just one of those websites that have been extended this opportunity, and we are very excited about that. First off, we're very honored and we're very humbled about that, to have the opportunity to sit with the media and be, you know, credentialed media for Miami Dolphins games at Hard Rock Stadium. We're going to have access. We'll be in the press box for the game and have access to the players in the locker room afterwards. So just wanted to make that announcement, as we will have some great content from that here at our website, DolphinsTalk.com. And I also, me as the one who owns this website, just wanted to also thank everybody who has been working on this site and our staff. And in particular, I want to thank two people just by name, and they are Tom Earnessy and Randy Savage. Without them, this website wouldn't have grown the way it did. It wouldn't have taken off the way it did. And we wouldn't be where we are today without the hard work Tom and Randy have done over the past however many years to sort of help build this website into what it is. You know, with websites like this, we do it for the fun and the love of the team. There's no money involved. And people, you know, putting their time and their work and long hours on these podcasts, on articles, on having to, and stuff behind the scenes with the site, having to be built and designed and all that stuff. And, you know, it takes a lot of time and it's a lot of work. And those two, above all else, have helped with this website, DolphinsTalk.com, over the years, build it to what it is. I also want to thank the rest of our staff. I'm not leaving you guys out by any means. The people who do the writing of the articles, the other podcast hosts, and everyone who's done all the work with the draft stuff we do every year. If not for you guys, this site wouldn't be what it is as well. And we are so, and I'm so blessed, really, to have an amazing staff that I have here at DolphinsTalk.com. And, you know, we put out a very good product, a quality product. I'm very proud of the product we put out. And that sort of shows with, you know, the level of guests we get on this podcast. You know, over the past year or two, our podcast has had on, you know, Phil Sims, Jarvis Landry, Albert Wilson, a bunch of guys from SiriusXM NFL Radio. Ross Tucker, Zick Fercassi, all those guys we've had on, or Armando Salguero, Jason Leisure, Orlando Elzagari, you know, so many top-notch guests. And the reason we can get those guys on our podcast is because our website is a quality website that puts out a quality product, and I'm very proud of the work we do. And having this opportunity extended not only to us but to the other fan sites out there, but I can only speak about our site and us. It's a thrill. We're very excited about it and having the access we're going to have a few times this upcoming season to be in the press box and such. It's just great. And I wanted to openly thank everyone who works on this site, because without you and without the work you guys have done, however long you've been with this website, opportunities like this wouldn't be extended to us. And I wanted to thank everyone and just say specifically a big thank you to Tom and Randy, because they have put in a ton of work over the years to help this website grow. And they are more than just people who work on this website. They are friends of mine now, and I consider them very good friends. So I wanted to say thank you to both of them. So now I'm going to take a quick break. And after the break, we will chat with Chris Cullen from the Perfect Phil podcast and get his thoughts on the upcoming season and last week's preseason game. So sit tight, and we'll be back right after this.
Simbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Simbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. To win in South Florida area, visit Simbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Chris Cullen from the Perfect Phil podcast. Chris, how are you doing today?
What's up, buddy? I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So before we talk about the first preseason game, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Because when I had Sam on the show, he mentioned a couple interesting things about you. First, that you played college football. Where did you play and what position?
Yeah, I played middle linebacker, a la my hero, Zach Thomas. And I played at a small Division II school called Wingate University, maybe about 30, 40 miles outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, Division II school.
Oh, cool. That sounds like fun. And he also said one of the tidbits I found very interesting, that you used to work in the radio business, and you once worked with Dan Lebatard. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? That sounds really like it had to be fun, obviously.
Oh, yeah, total fun. It was one of those things where Mark Hockman was the executive producer at the time. He now has his own show on WQAM.
Yep.
But he was the executive producer, and Mike Ryan, who is still a part of Dan Levitard's show, was the intern, and he was just promoted to producer as I emailed the same day, letting him know that I was at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, and I just wanted my foot in the door. Do you have any openings for an internship? And I'll never forget Mark emailing me back saying, dude, radio is all about timing, and you just had perfect timing. Can you meet me tomorrow? We need an intern.
Oh, so wow.
I drove down there, and we hit it off, and I started just screening calls, getting coffees for Stu Gotts and Kevin Rogers, meeting Sid Rosenberg and stuff before he left, and George Sedano. So it was a great time to be there. It was right before Book Shambi left. So I met a lot of big-name guys at the time, so it was really cool.
Yep, absolutely. And that sounds like it had to be a fun job. So let's talk about the first preseason game that took place on Thursday night. It was a 26-24 loss for the Dolphins. Whatever, just a preseason game. Nobody really cares about that. What were your thoughts overall on the quarterback play and what you saw from the four guys who were out there, starting from Tannehill all the way down to Bryce Petty?
Yeah, I mean, Tannehill looked sharp. That's what you wanted to see. No injuries, him to come out looking like normal Ryan Tannehill, where, you know, he rolls out in the pocket, throws accurate on the run, shows immediately to the players, to himself, to the fans, to the people watching that he's healthy and it's not an issue anymore. Shouldn't even be a question moving forward. Some short, safe throws to get him some rhythm and look good. It's exactly what you wanted from week one when he's coming off an entire season missed from injury. So it was good to see Ryan Tannehill out there looking just sharp, making some good throws.
Absolutely. I agree with that as well. I thought he looked well. The guy who probably looked the worst had to be Brock Osweiler. He just looked like a hot mess out there, honestly. What were your thoughts on Brock?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of odd to watch him. There were some times where he would make throws, and you're like, I mean, nice ball, catchable ball. And then you're just seeing him making these bad decisions where he's just winging it up in the air. Kind of looked like, I don't know, maybe I just didn't pay enough attention to him when he was not on the Miami Dolphins.
Exactly.
But he had just an odd release. He had an odd release to me. It just looked like he was kind of shot-putting it real quick, almost like a Phillip Rivers, but like the midget version. It just wasn't working for me. But
yeah.
I agree with you. It just didn't look the part. And honestly, Bryce Petty looked pretty all right, and I would like to see a little bit more of him in the preseason game.
Yep, that's what I said last night after the game. I want to see more of Bryce Petty, you know, in the second quarter, not against guys who in 3 weeks won't be in the league anymore. I want to see him against, you know, a second-string type defense. Not that he's or I expect anything great out of Bryce Petty, but I think out of those three guys, he has the highest ceiling. Now, it's not a high ceiling, but out of those three, it's probably the highest. So I would like to see a little more out of him. Osweiler, the thing that really sort of – got me with him. The guy's like 6'6", 6'7", and balls are getting batted down left and right. I'm like, how does it happen when you're that tall? It's like, I don't understand how that happens, but I sort of now understand why it didn't work out in Houston and why the Browns, who went 0-16 last year, even sent him away. They're like, we don't need him around because it just looked really bad.
Yeah, I mean, the only time he looked like he was actually putting the ball in the money is when he's being rushed, and he was maybe it's a mental thing, and he's thinking, overthinking things. But one play in particular, they sent the house, I think, on a second or third down, and he just like backpedaled like crazy and got away from the rush and made a pretty decent throw to the crossing route to get the first down. And right there, I was like, okay, that was a good play. But then I realized it's because he wasn't like actually throwing like a real quarterback with his three-step, four-step, five-step drop and reading the field and throwing the ball. So, yeah, I couldn't understand that either. Guy's like as tall as a house and he's getting balls batted down.
Yeah, and that's probably the one position, which I know it is for most teams. If you lose your number one quarterback, your season, for the most part, is shot. There's always the exception,
right?
Like Philadelphia last year, which is rare, but whatever. But if something were to happen to Ryan Tannehill, I mean, they are so screwed this year because A, there's nobody else out there, and B, it's like if any of these guys have to play in a real game, I mean, they're not going to cross the 50-yard line, I don't think. I mean, it could be really ugly.
Yeah, it'll be bad, and it'll just be bad for everybody all around. The receivers won't get their touches. The running backs will be facing 8-9 men in the box, and the defense is going to be constantly playing from behind. So I think that's where a lot of the fan base wanted us to still take a quarterback, even in the middle to late parts of the draft, even trying to sign like a Riley Ferguson or someone like that. And it was surprising that Gase just didn't pull the trigger on it. Maybe things didn't fall into place. But you didn't have to necessarily be a Ryan Tannehill hater to want something better behind him.
Something better. Exactly. Something better. And, I mean, in the draft, I loved our picks in rounds one and two. So I'm okay with not taking one there. If they didn't take either Smythe or Jerome Baker and took a quarterback in round three or four, I probably would have been fine with that. But who was really there in rounds three or four that I was, like, in love with? I don't think they were probably in love with anybody there either. So then you sort of look towards free agency. Did they make a mistake there? Who knows? Hindsight's always 20/20. We're going to find out soon enough. And hopefully it's not even an issue. But in this league, you know, guys get hurt all the time. So, and with our luck is the Miami Dolphins. If something can go wrong, usually it does, which we've all sort of lived through that. The rest of the offense in general, the one thing which, look, we all sort of knew this heading into last night's game. So it's not really breaking news by any means. But the speed they have on offense, and what really clicked for me was watching the rookie running back, Kalen Ballage, who, look, I haven't watched a lot of games of his at Arizona State. I might have caught him once, maybe. And he, you know, nothing really made me say, oh, I got to watch that guy, you know. But he looks electric when the ball's in his hands. And he's the type of guy where if he's got a hole or a little bit of a crease, he's going to take the ball to the end zone from anywhere on the field. He probably won't play a lot in the regular season, honestly, just because where he is on the depth chart. But I think he's just one of those guys who's just an extra weapon. When you count the speed of Wilson, Grant, Stills, they have the potential, I think, for a big play offense if all things sort of fall in right. What are your thoughts on just the weapons in general on this offense?
Yeah, you couldn't be more correct. The speed on both sides of the ball just were popping for me. You know, Jerome Baker flying around, making tackles, looking just stupid fast at linebacker. Yep. But I have it written down here. I wrote some notes before the show, and Ballage was one of the guys I wrote down. He was good catching the ball out of the backfield. He had good speed. He had good power. I mean, he's one of those guys where he's really trying to position himself right now to be a feature two-back behind Kenyon Drake to give him that thunder lightning type deal that most teams covet. You know, the Panthers had a lot of success with Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams for years, and of course Tiki Barber, and you know what was it, Ron Dane, I think, or whomever back in the day. You know, that's just what you want. You want those two guys where they can, or even us more recently with Ricky Williams and Ronnie Brown, where one guy, one guy's tired, and you can spell him without losing anything. So he really opened my eyes yesterday. I was excited to see him play, and I thought it was really telling that Gase got him some work really early in the game.
Yeah, in the first half they gave him the ball once, and he turned the corner. And he, like, outran everybody on Tampa's defense to, A, hit the corner, and B, turn the corner and get upfield. It's like, holy cow, that's something you can't teach. And that's something where if you could sort of harness that, he's still raw. He had the bad fumble, whatever. He fumbled in his first preseason game. You're not going to – whatever. It happens. But if he can be sort of coached up and harnessed and taught a few things in a year from now, I think he really could be a factor for this offense because, obviously – Frank Gore, as much as we all love him, he ain't going to play forever. At some point, age will catch up with him. So having him sort of waiting in the wings, I think, because, like I said, I've heard about him. We've all heard stories. But he went in round four for a reason, let's be honest. So there's something there with him. It's just he has to be coached up. And maybe even this year, in certain spots, in certain packages, they can find a way to get him the ball. Like I said, with Grant, Stills, and all the other speed they got out there, holy cow, this could be a big play offense. I think the offensive line's key. I'm still worried about the offensive line. Last night it looked fine for the most part, but what are your thoughts on the offensive line?
Yeah, so far so good. Even when Sonoris Perry scored that touchdown, seeing guys like Asiata out there, who were, I'm really expecting some, at least some depth from him to have him back there. In case of a small nick up injury or, you know, somebody misses a week or two, he can fill in without missing a beat. But yeah, I think I said that on our show on Welcome to Perfect, Bill, that it's time for Laramie Tunsil now to really turn it on, become that left tackle. He had his 1 year last year where we can kind of make excuses because he played the guard the year prior. So now it's time to establish himself. And you got those veteran guys in Stidden and Kilgore. It's honestly odd to say, I'm being completely honest, to say that I'm not that worried about the offensive line, because it seems like I was 5 years old the last time I could say that.
Yep, I'm with you 100%. I agree with Laramie Tunsil. I think having sitting next to him will make him a lot better. I think last year he struggled, obviously, which is some of it's on him, but he didn't have much help next to him at left guard, and who knows what's going through his head. Maybe he felt he had to overcompensate, help out a little bit inside because he didn't trust the guy next to him. I think having a rock and sitting next to him will help him a lot. Honestly, the guy who concerns me the most, and I talk about him a lot on our podcast here, and I wasn't in love with the fact they sort of brought him back, and he had a bad holding call last night, was James at right tackle. To me, he's just an ordinary player, nothing special by any means, and he does have a knack of getting a bad penalty at a bad time. Last night, again, it's a first preseason game, whatever, but again, the more some things change, the more they say the same. First part of the game, he gets a holding call. It's like, Jesus, we've only been playing for 3 minutes, and you're back out there getting a holding call already? He's been in the league, what, 5-6 years now or so? He's the guy I'm most concerned about. There, opposite side of the ball, yes, the speed, it improved. What were your thoughts about Minkah Fitzpatrick?
Oh, man, the guy looks like just like an absolute monster. I think we found this is one of my favorite first-round draft picks we've had in a long time. I liked him in the draft. I liked him when it came to time. We played a recording. I was recording my draft watch party as we got on the clock, and we mentioned who we wanted. Of course, we named Edmonds and Minkah and even the Florida State corner. You know, we didn't draft him, so I already forgot who he is. Minkah from go when we drafted him, and I did more research and dug up on him. You just have that feeling about a player sometimes where he's just well coached, he's intelligent, he's strong, he's fast, he just checks every single box. And he comes from a very strict Nick Saban college team that's ran like an NFL team. And you just knew he's going to come in here and turn some heads. Honestly, TJ McDaniel, as soon as that draft was made, he's probably just biting his nails. Because there's no way you don't have that guy in the field. 29 is for real.
Absolutely, he's for real. He's got it all. Speed, he's got range, smart. And like you said, he's almost as much as a sure thing as you will ever find in a draft. As I've been saying on our show here, I know he won't be a bust. I don't know if he'll be a superstar, you know, 10-time Pro Bowl level. I don't know if he's that, but I know he won't be a bust. I just know that. And I think knowing that it just gives, I think, fans, and it must give the organization just a sense of relief knowing this kid's got his head screwed on straight. He's probably not the type of kid, knock on wood, who will make headlines for being arrested somewhere or getting caught with something that he shouldn't be caught with. He doesn't seem like that type of kid. He just seems like he loves the game of football. And like you said, he came from Alabama, Saban. He's got the pedigree, so – I think the sky's the limit for him. Jerome Baker, we really haven't heard much about him in training camp. Like you said, though, last night, he looked like he's ready to fight for some playing time at linebacker, and he might get some because the guys in front of him, you know, really aren't that great outside of Alonzo and Raekwon. So why don't you talk a little about linebackers and your thoughts on Jerome Baker?
Yeah, and you know, not that we're wishing for it. And obviously, I like the guy, but you know, his stock got helped out a ton with Mike Hull getting hurt too. So
correct.
There's just less guys in the room to call on when you need some linebacker play. And if they're trying to go out this offseason and load our team with speed, they totally got it, because he's not an oversized or even average sized linebacker by any means. He does look like a defensive back moved up playing linebacker. But this day and age, in a passing league, in a passing world, with short drops and short routes like the Patriots run and things like that, you need somebody underneath that has the speed to keep up with these guys that are shifty. And he looks like he can cover. He can go sideline to sideline. He's not afraid to hit. He led our team of tackles last night. And he was a tackling machine at Ohio State, and a leader, and somebody that and it was great, I think, to see the interview after the game last night. And he mentioned Kiko Alonso being a huge help with him. He's being just a real team first guy and helping him with everything. It feels like the Dolphins have been trying for a while, shuffling things around, turning rocks, and finally have the roster in place where they're helping each other out instead of bringing them down, and it's building a good team.
Absolutely. And linebacker was a big, big issue last year for many reasons, obviously, but more so just having more athletes on that side of the ball. Because guys like Hall, if I remember the stat correctly, week one, when they beat the Chargers, which was technically week two, but our week one, when they beat the Chargers, I think Rivers, he picked on Hall all game to the point where he threw 9 passes at Mike Hall, and all 9 passes were completed. It's like Mike Hall's not a guy you want on the field at linebacker. If you want him running down a punt or something, that's fine, whatever. But he's not a guy who should be on the field as a linebacker in real games because he doesn't have the speed. He might have the heart. He might have the brains, but he's just not the athlete to play at that level. Chase Allen, a little bit more of an athlete than Mike Hall, but I'm not really in love with him either. They need guys who can run. And obviously they have that with him and Baker. And I think even Stephon Anthony, not the greatest player in the world, but he's got speed. So I think they're just more athletic on that side of the ball this year overall in the secondary and at linebacker. Cornerback position, obviously they're rotating guys in opposite Xavien Howard. When it's all said and done, who do you think will be the starter opposite Xavien Howard?
Well, that's a good question. McTyer is really trying to
Coming out strong. Yeah, he's coming out strong.
Yeah, he's coming out strong on Tankersley. Lippitt didn't dress last night, so it's kind of hard to say because he's supposedly jumped right into practice and he's looking good, like his old self after the injury. I like Tankersley. I like him a lot. Living here in Charlotte, North Carolina, my son's a big Clemson fan. I've watched Tankersley quite a bit in college, and I liked his game. He just always seemed to be around the ball and make turnovers, and I think last year he got thrown into it a little bit, and the game's going to slow down for him. That's all it's going to do is get easier and easier, and when that happens, he can – really turn on his athleticism and turn it up. But we might do a committee over on that side. Xavien Howard, I believe, truly has that one side locked down. But over there, you know, we're going to be moving in Tankersley, McTyer, McCain, whoever we have. And even that kid last night, I can't think of his name. That was maybe Taylor, number one, who was also
That was Jalen Davis. He was in
Jalen Davis, that's the name.
He was undrafted rookie from Utah State
or something.
That they love him. Yeah. But he went – undrafted, and it's going to be tough for him to make the team. I just hope they can sort of sneak him on the practice squad because I think he's got a bright future too. So I'm kind of hoping they can sneak him there, but he might play so well here this next month that some other team might notice that and try to grab him away. So, but yeah, he looks very good too.
And here we go again, speaking of this position where 2 years ago, just like the offensive line, I mean, we were just cringing thinking about our corners and how bad our defensive backs were. Now all of a sudden, you know, T.J. McDaniel might be on the bench and or McDonald might be on the bench. And we could be playing with all these corners behind Tankersley that could possibly start on other teams with Minka and Rashad Jones. I mean, just we talk about turning a weakness into strength in just a couple of years. I mean, I'm just really excited about the defensive backs and what they do. And Lippitt being a former receiver, you know, he can check the ball in the air. So it's going to be exciting to get him on the field.
Yep, absolutely. And I still think a sleeper, and look, I haven't been told nothing by any means, just my gut feeling. I think a sleeper to actually start on the outside still might be Bobby McCain. Bobby McCain last year, because at the end of the year, Tankersley went down. He missed the final handful of games. And they lost another corner who I can't remember right now. Bobby McCain played on the outside for like the final 3 games or so. He played well, and they paid him a lot of money just recently. I wouldn't be shocked if they played him more as a number 2 on the outside, because they can always slide Minka into the slot, and then you still got McDonald and Jones. So they got flexibility there, where if Lippitt or Tankersley, you know, they're good players, but if they're not sort of where they want them to be, we'll slide over McCain, move down Mink into the slot, and then you can put out McDonald. So they got options back there, flexibility. I think the secondary is as good as it's been in many years. And not only that, it's just young. And when you get young, you get speed. Yeah. So I like that group a real lot.
Yeah, that's a great point, moving McCain outside and putting Mink in the slot. That way you're not leaving a stud on the sideline in McDonald or Minka. That's a great point. I could definitely see Burke doing that.
Yeah, I could see that as well. Up front on the line, last night they didn't have much of a pass rush, but once again, Wake didn't play. More just as a big picture thing, I think Quinn's going to be the key here because Wake at his age, I don't know if he can go how many snaps week to week. I think he's got to be watched and limited because he will start to wear down over the course of a year. So he might be more of a situational pass rusher at this stage in his career. It's tough to doubt him because every year he does put up 9-10 sacks. But again, there does come a point in time where father time just as father time. So I think guys like obviously Quinn and obviously the first round pick last year, Charles Harris, really have to come on this year and bring that pass rush consistently because I'm not sure Wake is going to – obviously he'll be on the field out and play, but how much they do have to watch the snaps, I think.
Yeah, and watch out. Last person that co-hosts the show I was on that said that about Cam Wake, he went out and had 12 or 13 sacks. Talk to you, Sam. So, I mean, he just seems like Frank Gore. Like, he never he just doesn't – his age is just a number, and that's, like, literally the fact with those guys. I mean, both of them supposedly are the two best-in-shape guys in camp. So, from everything we've heard, Cam Wake said Charles Harris had the best offseason of all the defensive linemen. So, if he comes in here – and he pushes Quinn, and he gets some time, and he can really shine out there. Talk about options again, and this is a cool thing I like about this, and we were talking about it on Perfectville. Is this the first time in a long time where it's not like, I hope anyone in the starting 11 doesn't get hurt because we're screwed. We can say we have options, we have packages, we have all kinds of different things. Matt Burke, being a defensive coordinator myself, yet for fourth and fifth grade team, I have a game tomorrow, and I've been thinking about my depth chart all day today at work during any slow time I had. I'm just getting antsy and excited thinking about the packages and types of things and people you can put pair together. I couldn't imagine what Burke's thinking because he just has so many weapons. It's insane. If we can get any kind of good first-round level talent that he was drafted in from Charles Harris on this field this year with Quinn, with Gotchow hopefully having a good second year, and Taylor really showed up last night at DT.
You got Andre Branch, you got Hayes. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys. Exactly. You got Branch and Hayes. So, yeah, they're going to have some flexibility. And like you said, if one guy were to get hurt and miss like a month or something, it won't be the end of the world. Obviously, to me, replacing Sue is almost impossible. And I know there's a lot of criticism about him, how he didn't always run the play that was called and all that stuff. I get it. And he can't have that. And he was also getting paid like as much as like Rodgers and Brady, and he can't have that either because he's just a – yeah, exactly. So I understand letting him go. I have no problem with that. My problem – well, not so much a problem. My worry is how do you replace him? Obviously, it's going to take more than one guy. And we sort of got four guys set in a rotation. I'm not sold that they got – I think they need one more. And there are some guys still out there on the market. Obviously, nothing great. But it wouldn't hurt me to see them try to bring in someone else, maybe via trade. Maybe they try to move somebody and get somebody. But I think they need somebody else there because stopping the run, our linebackers are more promising than last year, but I'm not sure they're great by any means. And I think teams could just run up the middle on us, I have a fear, because Phillips, you never know what you're going to get. He's in a contract year, so that's kind of promising. He might actually be motivated for once. It might be the only time in his life he'll be motivated because he knows he's playing for a big money contract. After that, though, guys like Vincent Taylor, Akeem Spence, he's just been sort of like an ordinary player his whole time in the NFL. I hope we get one more guy there because that's my biggest worry on that side of the ball.
Yeah, we have to get someone. And the good thing is with all of this talk, that we've been saying about all the options and the guys and the depth that we have, I can totally see a trade piece, one or two being added to bring someone in, maybe on the last 2 years on his contract, or maybe just had a falling out with his team, Khalil Mack. I mean, that's just a hope. I mean,
Your lips to God's ears. Tell me what you want. Yeah.
Good Lord, can you imagine that? He would look great in Aqua.
Well, he would.
But yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that happening. And it's still very early in the preseason, so who knows? But you're right. One of the more frustrating things in the world, I think, as a Dolphins fan, is giving up a long third down or just getting carved up by the run. We just weren't used to that watching in the early 2000s with Tim Bowen, Gerald Gardner, and Zach Thomas just cleaning guys up. So it's just tough to see these just gaping holes and these running backs running all over us. So hopefully they do something to get that figured out.
Yep, and it's sort of funny you mentioned maybe a trade chip, because I talked about that on the show last night after the game a little bit, and I had the same thought, because my thought was, well, you trade from your positions of strength, and on this team, what are they? They would be, first and foremost, wide receiver, and so far in camp, everyone has raved about Isaiah Ford. Last night, P goes out at the end of the game, he scores a touchdown, then he catches the two-point conversion. I think he's going to make this team, obviously, so do you want him as a six wide receiver, or can you maybe – now, look, we got five guys in front of him. If we can move one of those guys, can we maybe get somebody else to help us somewhere else? So then you look at, okay, all those five guys in front of him, who could possibly be moved? You're not going to move Stills. You're not going to move Amendola, and you're not going to move Wilson. That leaves Grant and Devontae Parker. And in my book, if there's a team dumb enough to take Devontae Parker off our hands and give us anything of value – I make that trade in a heartbeat. I have no faith in him at all, zero, that he'll ever be anything more than what we've seen. He might be a guy who some team that really needs wide receivers here might be like, you know what? He's heading into the – well, he's got the fifth-year option deal, so a team can control him for a year, and then if they like him, they can hold on to him for one more. If not, boom, he's gone. He might be a trade chip. The other guys would be a pass rusher. Obviously, with other guys we named, maybe Andre Branch. So I think if anybody is moved here in a trade, Parker or Branch would be the guys. What would you think about that possibly?
Yeah, both those names sound exactly who I would think about if I had the roster in front of me right now and I thought of the entire situation, especially after the things that have been said, not really necessarily by Branch, but about Parker and Gase, really just and the team, Clyde Christensen last year calling him out and his work ethic and how he treats his body and how he eats, things like that. I mean, the writing's on the wall that obviously he is not in the best of graces with Adam Gase. Now, nothing recent has been really said, so maybe he made some changes.
I don't mean to interrupt you. Did you see the article earlier this week in the Miami Herald from Armando Salguero?
About Devontae Parker?
Yes. And Stills.
Mm-hmm, I did not.
It said this offseason that – Kenny Stills took him under his wing, and I guess how it went was in years one and two, Parker was eating like fast food for breakfast. So the team caught wind of that, and they had to tell him, you have to eat a healthy breakfast. Then they caught wind of he was staying up to 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., playing video games every night. The team caught wind of that, and they had to tell – and this is no joke. It was in the Miami Herald. I'm not making this up. And they had to tell him – that can't be done. If you have to be here at 7 a.m. in the morning, you have to be well-rested. You have to take care of your body. So they sort of worked with him on that, but nobody really knows if he was, you know, in bed at like 10 o'clock. I mean, who knows? Then they found out at night he loved chicken nuggets and some other type of fast food. So this offseason, and I'm not making this up, Kenny Stills took him under his wing and sort of has tried to mold him and sort of be a big – brother type to say, look, you got to eat healthy. You got to get your sleep. You got to get your rest. These are the things you have to do to take care of yourself. So, I mean, look, I've never been a huge fan of his because just what I've seen on the field the first 3 years, I read that story this week and I go, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this guy makes his money with his body and he had to be told some of this stuff is common sense, I would think, but he had to be told it. So that's why to me, if there's a team out there who's willing to take him off our hands, because we've seen Adam Gase run off, J.J. Landry. I mean, Parker fits that mold. I can't see him here in Miami long term. Now that I've spoke way too long, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, that's just crazy. And we've talked about it before, Sam and I, on Welcome to Perfect, Bill, that that Devontae Parker just seemed to be continuing his college life in the NFL. Where this guy's been 6'4", 6'5", probably all through high school, good hands. So he's able to just, like, dominate and be a high recruit at Louisville, He's able to get drafted because of the teams he played and his ability, just natural ability. He never had to really work for anything. And then he gets in the NFL, and all of a sudden, everyone's just as good as you. And he continued to just not have that work ethic, and it's come back and bit him in the butt. And we can just see it from the whispers of bust and the numbers that he doesn't have and could have. You know, when you see Jakeem Grant out jumping a defender against the Patriots last year, that should be Parker every game. And Jakeem Grant's 5'1", and he's doing it. So it's like, I mean, you kind of see those things, and you're like, you know that Adam Gase is getting frustrated by it, but he's a first-round guy, and he does have a high ceiling, or did. And the only thing that the saving grace I have for Devontae Parker is the way he was playing in 2016 when Tannehill was going on that tear is the only thing that may stop this trade from happening. But I can totally be on board with it. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, and like I said, this is probably his last chance to prove anything this year in Miami. I mean, who knows if he'll get traded. I'm just sort of throwing it out there. And I'm not sure if there is a team that would even want him, honestly, because he's really shown not much on the field production-wise in the NFL. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just not a huge fan of his. And I read that article this week. I'm like, you got to be. I mean, obviously you knew something wasn't right because he does have the size, the speed, the talent. But when you just read things like he had to be told to eat a healthy breakfast, you would think a guy at that level wouldn't be need to be told something like that. Some things are just automatically assumed. You would think a guy who maybe has to be at work at 7, 8 a.m. wouldn't stay up to 4 or 5 a.m. playing video games. You would think some things are just assumed. Obviously, I guess not. So I guess sort of to wrap this up, as we still got 3 more preseason games here, what are your thoughts on the upcoming season? How many wins do you think Miami can come down with this year? Are you thinking, 8-8, maybe a little better, maybe a little worse? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I always start to say 8-8, and then I look at other tangibles as far as schedule, who we play, thoughts about just accounting for injuries, both for our opponents and for us. And then just really sitting back and thinking, of course, looking at the games where I'm kind of on the fence with. But I don't see us being as bad as a lot of people are saying. I agree with some of the other – yeah, some of the other guys. I mean, looking at our schedule, we don't go to the West Coast. We don't have a lot of night games, really one night game, one Thursday night game in national TV. So we're constantly – everything just stays consistent. We have a late bye week. When that schedule came out, I literally like yelled with joy. It was like the best schedule we've had in a long time. We get to play the Patriots within the first 4 weeks of Edelman's suspension. It just, a lot of things fell our way. We don't go to London, hopefully, knock on wood. There's no hurricanes coming that are going to cancel our first game. So I really have us, I think 9 wins would not be surprising. And I don't see why 10 or 11 wins is absolutely feasible and possible. It just feels like once something happens, it becomes a circle jerk, and everybody's like, one person talks about Tannehill coming off an injury, and then like the rest of the national media can't have a normal thought for themselves, so they just copy the same thing, and they just keep reiterating it like parrots. But I don't see why there's any reason why, with Adam Gase in his third year, getting the guys he has with the mismatches and Gesicki, and the speed that we added in Ryan Tannehill fully healthy coming off the year he just came off, where he had to sit there and think about how much this game means to him. The little things that he maybe took for granted before, he won't now. I really will think we're going to see a whole different number 17, and this team is going to surprise some people.
I agree with you 100%. And the thing I look at the most is the schedule this year is very favorable. And then I think the Jets and Bills, in a few years, they might be really, really good because they did take young quarterbacks at the top of the draft. But I think this year, I don't know if either one of them are going to be any good. And if LeSean McCoy, I know he had some off-the-field issues, if that sort of blows up, I think they got a chance to be maybe the worst team in the league, the Bills. And the Jets, I mean, I can't name one guy on their offense outside of Sam Darnold, and he would not even be playing opening day. So out of those 4 games right there, let's say Miami might slip up once. Let's say they win 3 or 4. I think that's very realistic to win 3 or 4 against those teams. I think they have a chance to be really bad. Throw in there Indianapolis, who's another god-awful team, honestly. Throw in Chicago, they ain't any good. Tennessee at home, we beat them last year with their backup and our backup. That's a tough matchup for us because I think they can run the ball on us. But that's a sort of a toss-up game. You got the Lions at home. That game's very winnable. I'm not saying that they will win for sure. It's winnable. You got the Raiders at home at 1 o'clock. They're flying from the West Coast to the East Coast to play at one. That's always tough for the West Coast teams. I think Miami, with the schedule they got, and, you know, look, they always split with New England. You can sort of pencil that in. Cincinnati, that's a very winnable game. I think they have a chance if they, you know, don't slip up against a team that they shouldn't, you know, to get to 9 wins or maybe more. I think it's very, very possible just because the Bills, Jets, Colts, Bears, Cincinnati, Lions, none of these teams are that much, if at all, better than Miami when Tannehill's under center.
Yeah, my thing is, too, just like how we mentioned that some teams that we think are going to be bad can end up being good. Like, look at us, for example, when we went 1-15, 11-5. That offseason in between, people are probably circling us as a win on every single team that played us. But then it goes the other way, too, where there's teams you're expecting to be good, and they just crap the bed for some reason, either an injury or just bad spot. Things happen, and all of a sudden they're an 8-8, 7-9 team, and we're getting a win against a team that maybe right now where we're at in week one of the preseason, we're looking at it like, ooh, that's a tough team. Who knows if we're going to be able to beat them? And then by the time we get to them in week 14, 13, they're just a shell of them former selves. So, yeah, who knows? I mean, it's just a toss-up. I really don't see us going any worse than 8-8, 9-7.
No, I agree. Look, they won 6 games last year with Matt Moore and Jay Cutler. Yes. And they beat teams like Atlanta on the road. They were in the playoffs. They beat Tennessee at home. They were in the playoffs. They beat New England at home. They were in the playoffs. That's with Matt Moore and Jay Cutler. There's no chance they win less than 6. They will win 6. Now, if they get to 8, 9, or 10, who knows? I think they will, but if you made the case they won't, I couldn't really argue too much on that. But they will win no less than 6, in my opinion. And, yeah, it should be a fun ride this year. It should be really interesting as long as Ryan Tannehill stays healthy. If he gets hurt, forget about it. It's going to be miserable recording these shows. Let's get to some of the plugs. Everyone, be sure to listen to the Perfect Bill podcast. You can listen at their website. Welcome to Perfect Bill, or now it's on our website as well. DolphinsTalk.com is there, now part of our DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. You can also follow them on Twitter at Perfect Bill Pod. That's at Perfect Bill Pod. And also follow Chris on Twitter as well at ChrisC561. At ChrisC561. Chris, it's been a lot of fun having you on tonight. I'm sure we'll have you on again down the road. And you have a great evening.
You too, sir. It's been great. It's a pleasure being on and an honor, and I'm so glad Sam and I are working with you, and I look forward to the future. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. You have a good night.
All right, buddy. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. See ya.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one-stop source for anything and everything Miami Dolphins. From the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast to original commentary, breaking news, and interviews with current and former players as well as media types, DolphinsTalk.com keeps you up to date and informed with all the latest happenings taking place in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk and to check us out at DolphinsTalk.com every day for all your Miami Dolphins needs.
Once again, I would like to thank Chris Cullen from the Perfect Phil Podcast for joining me today on the show. Everyone, be sure to check out the Perfect Phil Podcast either at their website, Welcome to Perfect Phil, or right here at DolphinsTalk.com, as they are now part of our DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. Sam and Chris do amazing work. It's a great podcast. Everyone needs to be listening to it, so check it out. Let's get to the plugs. If you want to send me a tweet or contact me on Twitter, I can be reached at Dolphins Talk at Dolphins Talk. You want to send me an email, I can be reached at DolphinsTalk1977 at gmail.com. Send me an email there. We're also on Facebook. Be sure to like and follow our Facebook page. Just search for DolphinsTalk.com on Facebook. It will pop up. You'll see our logo. And be sure to follow us there, because we're going to be doing some interesting things soon with Facebook. I know I've been talking about it for a while, but trust me, we got plans, and it's going to start soon. Instagram, we're on Instagram as well, at Dolphins Talk. Make sure, if you are one of the people on Instagram, you're following us there as well, because like I said, with these new exciting opportunities we are being afforded here at the website, we're going to be able to give you access and show you things, you know, behind the scenes and such. So we're going to put that stuff up on Instagram, obviously. So you be sure you are following us on Instagram at Dolphins Talk. Try to think if there's anything else. Be sure to visit the website, dolphinstalk.com. Great new articles up every day. Interviews, podcasts. We got a bunch of new stuff going up all the time. So always check out the website, dolphinstalk.com. For those of you listening, which obviously you are, I'm not even sure what I'm saying right now, be sure to subscribe to this podcast, whether on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, wherever you listen, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. So once a new show drops, it goes automatically to your smart device and you are made aware, as we are the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Just wanted to sneak that in because I'm not sure if there's anything else. Nope, I think that's it. So let me just wind this up before I continue to sound like a fool. So everyone, enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll talk to you again after lunch.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.